May I have your attention, please?
Your attention, please?
Good afternoon and welcome to Attention, Please. KPTZ airs Attention, Please each Monday at noon and at 5 and on Saturdays at noon to draw our attention to the good work being done to foster a well-informed and resilient community here on the Olympic Peninsula. I'm Phil Andrus. This week's Attention, Please comes in two parts. First, I will be speaking with Karina Wells and Jean Stasny of the American Association of University Women, hereafter referred to as the AAUW, regarding their annual home and kitchen tour, which will be held on the weekend, which takes us from April to May. In the second part of this week's show, I will be speaking with Roark Jennings and Ronnie Cresta about their organization PT Potential and their work to reduce plastic in the solid waste stream here in Jefferson County. We'll begin with the AAUW and their Port Townsend and Beyond Home and Kitchen Tour. Karina, this is the 24th annual tour, and it's virtual and in 3D. Will we need special glasses to get the most of the 3D?
No, you just need a computer, telephone, or a mobile phone, iPad, any device.
And explain to me about the 3D, though. I'm curious.
So we use a 3D Matterport camera, and it is a camera that rotates 365 around. And quite often people have seen those when they've looked at homes for sale or a vacation that they want to take. And you can go into a room and look up and look down and walk through the room, and you control how you experience the room. Special camera.
From your website, your tour includes houses, condos, boats, and alternative housing options, plus interviews and workshops, all in alignment. And that word alignment captured my eye. I wonder what you mean by that.
Well, this year, AAUW has been focusing a lot about housing needs and solutions here. So we have beautiful million-dollar homes that have been updated or recently built. We have remodels, but we also really want to address the fact that we have a housing crisis, and there's people that want to live and work here, but they can't find it. So we also are featuring a Habitat for Humanity home that was just built. So we'll see a vacant home, and also an ADU that was specifically built for people working in Port Townsend. And as far as alignment, every house has an interview with either the builder, the designer, or the homeowner. And we have seminars supporting things that you're looking at if you're remodeling or if you've ever thought about putting an ADU on your property and how you can do that here in Jefferson County.
So given what you're able to do, although it would seem like it's a lot more work, but able to do virtually, do you think you'll ever go back to a knock on the door, knock on the front door type of tour?
I don't know. That's really up to the group and volunteers. I love the virtual part of it. I'm really geeky that way. And so last year and this year, I've really embraced, while we are virtual, let's be as virtual as we can and go into these smaller spaces like condos and boats, as well as big houses that we would never be able to do in a live tour. And also live tours used to limit us to 6 or 8 houses in one area, so it was easy to get around. And I like bouncing all over Jefferson County, trying to get as much variety as possible.
So you call this a home and kitchen tour. No mention of bathrooms or mudrooms or any other kinds of rooms. So I take it there's a special emphasis on the kitchen.
Back in the day, as you said, this is the 24th year, and I wasn't part of this organization then. Kitchens were the focus. And then several of us, very smart ladies, decided, you know, that ladies are not all about the kitchen, it's other places. And you're usually going through parts of the house to get there. And actually, this year, for the first time ever, we have 2 whole house tours because there's not hundreds of people tromping through a house. 2 homeowners have opened up their entire house. This is the first you'll hear of it, but there will be bathrooms and other rooms in 2 of the houses this year.
From the standpoint of the homeowners, there'll be a lot less mud to pick up off the floor having it virtually. So I can understand how you would have more opportunities. What are your criteria for choosing the homes? It sounds like you've really expanded them to include tiny homes and so forth.
The criteria can change every year. I think some of it, we have a small committee that looks at these things that would be interesting to people. We got great feedback from the condos and boats last year, you know, seeing what can be done in small spaces. So we're continuing that. Things that are just new or interesting that are thinking about remodeling, or this year, again, with the ADU and the Habitat, thinking more about the community around them.
I will say when I attend your tour, what would you like me to get out of it?
I think it's both entertaining and educational. It's entertaining to see some of these different styles and how people live and decisions they made. We have interviews of the homeowners, decisions they've made and how they want to live and their lifestyle, but also educational, learning about new products, new resourcing, and also about some of the challenges finding affordable housing in Jefferson County.
So I have never attended a tour. Truth is, I thought it was probably for people of a slightly more elevated socioeconomic category than myself. But I'm seeing that that is not true this year. Perhaps it has never been true, but I had assumed it was. Can you describe the meetings, the conversations you've had over the recent years, especially to broaden the focus of your tour and to maybe make it more inclusive?
Well, I think the benefits when, you know, when we try to find the good side of COVID, the good side of COVID has pushed us into virtual tours. That is one of the benefits of being able to go into homes that maybe weren't as accessible because there were stairs going in and out or they were too small. And so, like you mentioned, seeing what can be done in smaller spaces, more affordable spaces, but we also like to dream. You know, we want to have fancy places as well. It's definitely a spectrum. And so I think that's something that has been important to the committee to show Jefferson County all different ways.
And especially since you are doing a virtual tour, you can appeal to a wider range of people and bring a wider range of people. You mentioned dreaming, and probably what you're thinking of when you say dream is a bigger and a better. We have a house that we built for a family of four. We are now a family of two. My dream of a home is a smaller one. And for me, at least, seeing well-organized and beautiful small places, I don't mean tiny. I don't think we'd fit into tiny very well, but half would be grand.
I think you'll see that. And I think one of the things that we have with some of our vendors like Studio STL is how you can make small spaces work really well and be really quite beautiful. The other great thing about this being virtual is that if you have friends or family that have ever wanted to see more of Jefferson County, they're able to experience it and live in Wisconsin or Florida or overseas. And we sold many tickets nation and worldwide last year. So that really brings people over here to experience our lovely part of the world.
Among the structures, if you can call them that, of particular interest to me on your tour are boats. I want to know about the boats. If you can tell me the type of boat, maybe that would be fun. And what you're wanting people to see other than just the romance of being on the water?
Part of it is people around here spend a lot of time on boats, and some people even live on their boats or they retire onto their boats, and showing that that's a fun and viable thing to do as well. So last year we featured two boats, and one they had redone the galley to suit their needs, and that was really fun. And the other was the Alaska Quest, that they are on their boat and then they also take tours in Alaska. So that was kind of the entertainment dream of going off and seeing part of Alaska.
You made some mention of you and a camera. So when you answer this question, maybe you're going to include yourself. In fact, you might just focus on yourself. It seems like there's an awful lot of work going into putting together your virtual tour. I'm wondering whom you're thanking and whom we all can thank for that expertise.
Well, actually, the 3D Matterport camera work is done by myself and my husband. And we can actually thank Coldwell Banker Best Homes because it's a very expensive camera and they have lent it to us for free to use. So we thank them for that. And then all of the interviews I shoot on my brand new iPhone, which does better than an old-fashioned video camera, and I have fun with my Mac. It's me embracing my nerdy side. But I have a great committee of ladies because we have sponsorships, we have advertising, we have the descriptions, we have the ticket sales. There is a group of us that are working really hard to do that side.
I'm going to go next to also of the AAUW, Jean Stasny. You are the person I'm supposed to ask about what this money is actually going to add to our community. What are you going to
do with it? That's right, Phil. When you buy your ticket to our wonderful home and kitchen tour, you will have the satisfaction of knowing you're helping women and girls in East Jefferson County to pursue their educational dreams. We give away close to $70,000 in scholarships every year from the money that we make on our home and kitchen tour, as well as from some of these scholarships, which are endowed by some of our past members. Our big scholarship is the Elmira K. Byer Endowed Scholarship. That's an $11,000 scholarship. We have others ranging from $8,000 to $6,000. We give scholarships to students from each of the three high schools in East Jefferson College, $4,000 scholarships, a graduating senior from each of our high schools. We have a technical career scholarship. That's our newest scholarship. That's for women that are not going to a four-year college, but are pursuing a trade. For instance, women going to this school for wooden boat building, or women who want to become a plumber or a hairdresser, they can earn scholarships of up to $5,000 to pursue their goals. So we are trying to cover as much educational opportunities as we can for the women in East Jefferson County.
And how much do you hope to raise from the tour this year?
I think last year was about $14,000.
And that all goes to scholarships.
These local, as we call them, local scholarships really mean a lot to the kids. They get scholarships from the college that they will attend, or the wooden boat school, or wherever. But the support they get from, for example, the AAUW really means a lot, the community support.
And we love supporting the women and girls in East Jefferson County. And we love keeping the money here in East Jefferson County.
One last question. Either of you can answer this. How do we sign up?
I'll take that. Please go to eventbrite.com. It is a very easy website that's used all over, and our tickets are $30. The tickets are for all weekend. So you can start on Friday, look at the homes, and decide on Saturday or Sunday you want to look at them again. So eventbrite.com.
I want to thank you both, Jean Stasny and Karina Wells of the American Association of University Women. Thanks a whole bunch.
Thanks so much for having us.
And next we're going to go, they have a two-part show here on Attention Please. We're going to be talking with Roark Jennings and Ronnie Cresta of PT Potential. I'm going to say to begin this, Earth Day is April 22nd. During the span of the three broadcasts of this Attention Please for PT Potential, Earth Day is every day, because their work is recycling plastic into, and here's where I want you to speak to me, either of you, plastic into what?
I'm going to let Rourke take that one.
Yeah, I'd like to just first kind of clear the air that, you know, just managing the toxic, quote unquote, toxic substance without the use of fossil fuel, and to make sure it's not ending up in a harmful place like our waterways or wild lands, is a quote unquote product in itself is valuable for that endeavor. We've been shredding plastic for the past little while, and the shreds themselves are also viable on a global market. People buy shreds to make, you know, various plastic products.
The last part is that we want our community to tell us what it is that we're making. The first product that we have in planned production is a pegboard for garages and things like that. It's more durable and long lasting than the paper pegboard that many of us buy at a home store, but we want to make something that's modular, beautiful, and made out of recycled plastic, because it's a product that most of us will have in our homes for a long time. So the main focus of whatever product we do wind up making, we want it to be something that doesn't just turn right back around into the landfill.
So when I go to the transfer station or the recycling, I'll call it a recycling center out by the jail, where I usually go, I put plastic in with aluminum and steel, I guess it is.
Yep.
Where does that plastic go? Does it come to you, or do you have a way of getting into the waste stream?
Not yet.
So where do you get your raw material?
Right now, Jefferson County is selling that plastic to a recycling center in Tacoma. For us, we are partnering with businesses, for the most part, to take the plastic that they wind up getting in large quantities that we don't normally see. A lot of our vegetables come to our grocery stores in No. 5 plastic boxes. So that's a big source of material for us. We can also get it from the public, but that's a much smaller amount. We aren't yet set up to take small amounts. Right now we're sort of focused on the bulk product that businesses are generating.
So you don't want our listeners to arrive at your doorstep with a box of plastic things and put them into a bin. That bin isn't there yet, you're telling us.
That's Not yet.
Okay, what volume at this point, what volume of plastic are you dealing with, we'll say, on a weekly basis?
To be honest, we haven't had a lot of time to be spending shredding right now because all of us are kind of working full time and have families, and we've been putting a lot of work into
fundraising.
Yeah, trying to organize ourselves more, like legally per se, incorporate and hold a couple events to do some fundraising, and hopefully with the intention to open up some time and space for us to be in there more frequently. But the shredder can probably do about 20 pounds an hour. Yeah.
But that's a lot of plastic. Plastic is very lightweight. We only deal with number 2 and number 5 plastic at this point because they're the easiest to recycle or reuse on a small scale. And so 20 pounds of plastic is a significant amount of plastic. And right now we don't have any buyers for the shredded. We're just starting to make those connections and network with our community. We have had community members and businesses that are interested in partnering with us in the future for what we can make. Right now, we're trying to get capital and incorporate as a business before we can actually move into the process of making products.
Okay, so PT potential, the emphasis is potential here. I didn't realize that. I thought you were more established. What is the potential? No, that's not meant to be a joke, actually. It's you're organizing something. It could be very important. I'm wondering, though, what your goal is in terms of volume. Would you like to think at some point that your business or another could actually be able to intercept the bulk plastic that comes out of our county and return it to use here?
You know, part of the project is certainly mitigating the pollution associated with dealing with our plastic, but also, you know, the other half of our project is creating a conversation about our economy and how we provide for our needs locally, and kind of challenging community and government and businesses to rethink how we provide for our needs and hopefully help guide people towards using less plastic and create more resilient circular economies within Port Townsend. And so I don't think we would ever be able to process the amount of plastic we see today, but collectively we can decrease our consumption and then deal with that smaller amount.
So Woody Guthrie, do you know Talkin' Columbia? You know the line in the song, everything is going to be plastic?
We hope not. I mean, one of the biggest challenges that we face with plastic, the Leader just had an article about our new contract within the county for recycling, and we're actually reducing the types of plastic and the kinds of bottles and jugs that we can recycle now or drop off for recycling. And so the only way for us to increase what percentage of plastic we generate in this county is going to be how much plastic we generate. We can't recycle all of it. We can't recycle number 1 and 7 and 4 on a small scale. They're either not recyclable or they take machines way beyond the scope of what we ever imagined the county would be able to handle, at least from our point of view. If we're talking about reducing the amount of waste that we're producing in the county, yeah, we'd love to see that become a more circular economy where what is coming in is something we can manage, mitigate, and then turn into something useful.
So describe your interaction with Jefferson County's Department of Solid Waste. I guess it's in the Public Works Department, so it would be a division of Public Works. Have you been working with them, and how have they responded to you?
We have somebody on our committee in our business that is reaching out to them, but we haven't heard back just yet. And part of that is just because we haven't established what we want our relationship to be. They receive so much plastic, it would be overwhelming for our tiny little business at this point.
Sometimes tiny little businesses get bigger and bigger and bigger, but I don't want to frighten you with that.
We're not discounting. We would love to have a relationship with, you know, everyone in the community at some point, because plastic touches everyone's lives.
In your website, you list 3 missions. You have touched upon them already, but nevertheless, perhaps you can amplify briefly on them. Waste stream reduction is 1, cultivating community is 2, and connecting businesses and projects to reclaimed resources is the 3rd. What do those mean to you?
As Ronnie mentioned, you know, the plastic going to Tacoma right now, and that in itself is a form of pollution, just like the amount of fossil fuel burn to drive that truck back and forth 100 miles. And then the plastic itself being the pollution. So we're hoping to mitigate both of those potential pollutions. Hoping to, yeah, supply people with durable, long-lasting products.
Well, and we have a lot of challenges that we are facing and will be facing in the future. So we have talked to a few local farmers and a few local businesses, just kind of getting an idea of what it is that we're really going to need with supply chains not being what they once were. We want to be able to maybe fill in some gaps in the future and keep it on a very local basis. The more we can produce as a community locally from waste streams or from resources that we have right here in the county, the more resilient we'll be in the future.
Cultivating community.
Yep, that's right. Creating sustainable products.
Next, I want to ask you individually. My sense is that maybe one or both of you are engineers, but you talk like educators.
My background is mostly in growing food, making future things out of old trash. I've built a market garden completely out of products from the waste stream, but then mostly, you know, I've been working on farms and growing food in one way or another.
I want to ask Ronnie, still, how did you get from growing food to this project?
The growing food is, in my opinion, an imperative, and the making it out of resources available to me has either come out of necessity or out of this philosophy of there isn't enough to go around. We're using up our resources, and I'm not interested in finding new ways to use virgin products. I'm more interested in finding ways to use what's lying around. The international open source project called Precious Plastics came onto my radar about 10 years ago, and their mission is to give open source engineering schematics and things like that to those of us who don't have engineering backgrounds. So that we can build these machines and create a new future for ourselves. It's been on my radar for a while, but it wasn't until I met Rourke here in Port Townsend that I really thought that there was a possibility for us to go somewhere real with this.
And your background, Rourke?
I definitely have a fair bit of agriculture myself, and it has been always interesting to see how much plastic is in agriculture as far as an impetus for this project, both processing waste plastic or providing certain drip irrigation, for example. A small amount of educational theory with, I had a degree kind of in outdoor leadership and guiding, so a little bit in that regard. Also pretty influenced by a book called Small is Beautiful, Economics as if People Mattered by E.F. Schumacher.
People are still reading that. I read that in college. And that was and 50 years ago. It's good to know that book is still around. It's a good book.
And that's a big part of our endeavor is appropriate technology. This is small-scale, decentralized tool that we can use to address a challenge in our community. And hopefully we'll be developing others to address energy shortage or water shortage and food shortage.
Do you have a business plan, a timeline? I ask that because I had actually thought I was going to be talking to a couple of people who were years into an endeavor. And in fact, you are just starting, which is not a criticism. It's my realization, however. Do you have like a 5-year plan?
I don't know if I'd go that far out.
We have a three. It's more like a 3-year plan. But yes, we do have a business plan. We are incorporating any day now. It feels like every day we're about to push the button and then something comes up.
We have a public event on April 30th from 4 to 6 at the Hay Barn at Finn River. You can get to know us and check out the machine. And by then, we're hoping to have our Kickstarter ready to help us fundraise for some machines that will enable us to start making things. And then by then, we'll be incorporated. We'll have some machines and we'll be spending some time making more and more connections.
The biggest part of this, I think, is that this business is unusual in that we are getting to know our community slowly because this is a novel concept. And we don't want to just make things for the sake of making things. When we make product that doesn't already have an end market, it winds up in a landfill or the ocean. And that's the whole point of our business, is to not do that. Our purpose at the end of the day isn't to make more money for ourselves. Our purpose at the end of the day is to find a way to incorporate the plastic that is already in our lives into things that we actually need that will serve us for a while. And then on the other side of that, reduce the amount of plastic that is coming into our lives in the first place.
These machines you're talking about, I'm curious, can you describe them to me? How large are they? What do they weigh? Where do you find them? Is this something that, in fact, a household could even have in the house someplace, or does it require a warehouse and three-phase electricity and make a whole lot of noise?
It is three-phase. It does make a fair bit of noise, but not, you know, not crazy, not as much as a drum kit.
There is a manufacturer who is about to launch a dishwasher-sized sort of recycling center for the home. That's not exactly what we're doing. I'm excited about it because it washes and sorts and shreds. The kind of manufacturing that we are doing, the shredder is about the size of a large suitcase, and it sits on top of a desk. And so it takes up about 3 by probably 6 feet of space in a workshop that we have. And then we would really like to have the two other machines that we're looking to purchase are an injector machine, which injects a mold with melted plastic. And that is tall and skinny. It's actually kind of the size of a coat rack, honestly. The footprint is about the size of a coat rack. And then the sheet press that we would like is by far the largest. It makes 1 meter by 1 meter sheets. So the whole thing is about probably 2 meters square. It's big.
And this equipment is expensive.
Yes. Yeah. It's several thousand dollars. The sheet press is around $7,000 or $8,000. And then the injector, I think, is maybe $2,000 or $3,000. Yeah.
So hence you either already have initiated or you plan to very soon initiate a Kickstarter campaign.
We're hoping for a community-based micro-lending or micro-sponsored for the machinery itself.
And how do people find you?
Go to our website at ptpotential.eco or .com. We'll get you there. On the website, you can find a contact form. We didn't get ptpotential@gmail.
No.
So it's porttownsendpotential@gmail if you want to email.
But we are on Instagram. We are ptpotential on Instagram at ptpotential.
And if all that went right past people listening to this conversation, they can write to me at cats@kptz.org, and I will send you in the direction of Ronnie and Rourke. Last question, you made mention of a get-together at Finn River end of the month of April. I guess that's the reason that I wanted to have this conversation on the 18th of April, a bit in advance. A bit more detail, however, about that event at Finn River. When is it? What time of day? And so forth.
Yeah, it's going to be happening on the 30th from 4 to 6, right before their kind of usual 6 p.m. music and get gatherings. You want to stay after our event. It's kind of good timing. We're going to have some live music. We're going to have our machine out. We'll have some hors d'oeuvres and drinks.
Meet and greet. Get to know us. It's a way for the community to ask us questions.
Right,
this is such a novel technology. We really want you to be able to see our homemade, ugly little machine and then ask us questions about plastic, ask us questions about recycling. There's a lot of information out there that's either way too hopeful or way too negative. And so we want to keep that conversation going with the community.
With those words by Ronnie Krusta, we bring this edition of Attention Please to a close. To summarize, the AAUW Virtual Home and Kitchen Tour will be held from Friday, April 29th through Sunday, May 1st, and PT Potential's meet and greet will be at Finn River Farm on April 30th. For links to these organizations and information about their events, write to me at cats@kptz.org and I will send them to you. Attention Please is aired on Mondays at noon and at 5, and Saturdays at noon. Every Attention Please is also available as a podcast on the podcast page of the KPTZ homepage, which you will find at kptz.org. We'll go out with a song suggested by Rourke Jennings, Creators by Paul Isaac, Tubby Love, and Amber Lilly. Thanks for listening to Attention Please. I'm Phil Andrus.
Consumers, we are creators, breath takers and energy makers. We are not consumers, we are creators, breath takers and energy makers. We are not consumers, we are creators, breath takers and energy makers. We are not consumers.